The Air Force is looking to grow the alternative fuels industry. As WVXU's Ann Thompson reports in Focus on Technology, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton is playing a leading role.
As soon as we walk inside the Aerospace Fuels Research Facility, there's a strong smell of kerosene, an ingredient in jet fuel. It's no wonder we're going into what's called the Room of Drums, housing jet fuel samples from all over the world.
This is a natural gas-derived fuel from Malaysia that Shell put together and sent to us as part of a test program.
Chemical engineer Tim Edwards with the Aerospace Systems Directorate at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base says this one has been tested on a cross-country flight. All of these are alternative fuels, meaning they don't use petroleum.
Here's a fuel from South Africa that's made from coal. Right next to it is a fuel that was made for, that the Air Force purchased, made from a test program. This is one of the, we call it the hydroprocessed renewable jet fuels. This is a fuel, this one particular one started from tallow, which is basically animal fat.
Another one of the 55-gallon drums contains fuel from camelina, a weed that can be grown almost anywhere. The Air Force Research Lab has been making and testing alternative fuels since 2006. It has a vested interest. The Air Force uses about 2.5 billion gallons of jet fuel every year. That's about the same as a commercial airline. Often, the alternative fuels come from commercial companies through technology transfer agreements. They provide the fuel and in exchange get it tested. Next door, we hear the hum of a helicopter engine using one of the fuels. It's bolted to the ground. Outside is the fuel farm. This is where Wright-Patt stores larger quantities of alternative fuel underground, 1,000 to 25,000 gallons. A lot of commercial oil companies have big refineries but cannot make smaller amounts. That's where Wright-Patt comes in, according to technology transfer manager Kristen Sherio.
No one else has the particular combination of facilities and testing capabilities so that we can make fuel or we can process, or we can test someone else's fuel, but we have all of the fuel characterization testing, the engine testing, emissions testing, and no one else has that particular capability.
Not to mention the quality control testing facilities for the entire Air Force is across the street. Manufacturing fuel on this scale is not easy. The University of Dayton is a partner. Professor Heinz Robota is an Ohio research scholar in alternative fuels. He has the scientific responsibility.
This past year, Tim had asked us to make two specific kinds of research fuels. And so it was my role to figure out how would we chemically go about doing that. What would we use as starting materials? What catalysts would we use to do what conversions? What refining techniques would we need at the end to produce the fuel with the properties and the composition that he wanted?
It helped understand what things to guard against when making the catalyst at the mini-kilogram scale. Bob Morris manages the facility where they make 50 to 1,000 gallons of alternative fuel.
It's really conventional refinery-type technology, but what's unique for us is our scale and our flexibility. So we can bring small amount of liquids in and or whatever we can get liquid in this tank or that one and process it through the system.
So you make it in here.
Yes.
You test it in where we heard the helicopter.
Yep.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you store it in like a sample of it in the repository. Yep.
They are making progress. With a commercial partner, the AFRL is in the process of converting 1,700 gallons of renewable crude to roughly 500 gallons of what is expected to be a true alternative fuel. Then it'll be tested by a major engine manufacturer on a full-scale engine. Past partners have included GE Aviation and Pratt & Whitney. There are other efforts underway in the southeast. There isn't as much demand for paper, so the southern yellow pine is being turned into alternative fuel instead. Keor, the company doing it, says the price will be cost competitive. Price is a big concern to the Air Force. Tim Edwards says the focus over the next couple of years will be to get the price of alternative fuels down.
Right now, we know we can make them. We have a pretty good handle on the processes. I'm writing 3 or 4 different reports on all the test data. So the question is, how can you get the cost of these fuels down as quickly as possible? How do you grow this industry? Because if you can't make the fuels affordably, you know, there's not going to be a new industry.
Edwards is working with the FAA, the White House, the Department of Energy, and others to write the new National Aeronautics R&D plan, a large part of which is focused on alternative aviation fuels. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Ann Thompson.